My thoughts are kind of scattered, I'll be honest with you, on the way over. I've had many different things on my mind, and it seems like as services were being introduced, one of the things said was what a blessing it is that we can sing praises unto him who's worthy to be praised. Amen. You know, Paul addressed the church at Corinth, and he was praying for them because he didn't want them to be moved away from the subtlety, the simplicity, which is in Christ by the subtlety of Satan. The gospel is profoundly simple and simply profound, all at the same time. The gospel is very easy to be understood, I would say. I mean, to me, Matthew 1 and 21 sets forth a very sure, steadfast standard. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus himself gives us a testimony that he's come down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he says, this is my Father's will, all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. That gives me great security. We know that when the Lord hung suspended between heaven and earth, he said, it is finished. Now, the work of redemption was completed, was it not? The legality of that work was completed. Yet we have many other offices, if you will, that Jesus serves in. For instance, in Isaiah, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall rest upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He's our king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all that means nothing until which time he's your Savior. Boy, when he's your Savior, then everything else means a whole lot at that point in time, does it not? I said the us's and we's and me's in the Bible, they're special, right? Doesn't mean a whole lot to the us's and we's you have a part in, but when you have a part in the us's and we's of the Bible, I'm going to tell you this gospel becomes really important at that point in time. There was a time back when Brother Ricky knew me when I was a little boy, my cousin Ricky Myers said I was like a St. Bernard playing with chihuahuas. My daddy, we had a switch tree at Union Church where I grew up, and I kept her pruned, brother. And when I started serving Union Church, that whole fence row had kind of encroached into the churchyard there. And boy, we got in there, we said, we're going to clean that up one day. We was having a meeting coming up third weekend, and 4th of July. 3rd of July is at 5 miles, sorry. The 4th of July, and we was cleaning that fence row up, and I was swinging a Kaiser blade. I don't know what y'all call it, but anyway. That's what we call it. And all of a sudden I hit something. Bling! And I found there was an old sign that one of my great uncles had made, and he put it out there in front of that tree that said the switch tree. When I was a kid, it was about 10 steps from that sign to where the tree was. We had done clean 10 feet of brush by the time we got to the sign. I said, I think some of you brethren are slacking on your responsibilities. I kept that thing pruned, you know. There was a time when the best thing that could happen is they said amen, we ate lunch, and there was a football game going on in the backyard behind old Union Church. And I usually got a whipping because somebody come in there squalling, and I say, well, Daddy, I was just playing with him. And Ricky said, yeah, you was, but it was like a St. Bernard playing with chihuahuas, and you was hurting youngins everywhere, and of course they kept me. But there come a point in time in my life when the most important thing took place, when the congregation gathered for the purpose of worship. Right. Something changed, you see. Jesus serves as not only our redemption and our salvation, but he's also our mediator. He is also our intercessor. He is at the right hand of the throne on high, making intercessions on mine and your behalf as we sit here. Right. And I pray, brethren, I pray that he comes down with us, as Brother Ricky said, that he might be with us, that he might sing with us, that he might declare the Father's name under the brethren in the midst of the church, That should be our prayer. You see, he still does that for his people. And when he does that and something special happens, when the Spirit of God is made manifest, it's a declaration of his love for you. It's like the Lord saying, you know, I still love you, son. I still care about you. I'm still, he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, I can say I care about you all I want to, but when it says he careth for, that's kind of like if you raise cattle and you don't go out there and check and make sure everything comes up in the wintertime when you go out to feed, if ain't all present and you don't go find what's missing, you're not much of a cattleman. You see, the shepherd we serve is the great shepherd of the sheep, brethren. Yeah. And he's given us a testimony that if there's one, he'll go and get that one. Isn't that amazing, the Lord we serve and how he cares for us? He careth. He doesn't just care for you. I can tell people, man, I care about you, but I can't really do a whole lot for you. The Lord careth for you. He cares about you. He can do something for you. Yeah. That's why he talks when he prays, to pray for our daily bread. Pray that the Lord bless us this day with our daily bread. I'll tell you, you better be careful when you look at that model prayer too, because there's some of that's kind of hard to live by. Yeah. It says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right. And sometimes I want to say, Lord, don't forgive me like I forgive other folks. Mm-hmm. You know, we be careful how we walk. Why? He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What did the Lord say when he came and found those apostles? You know what he said? Follow me. That's what he said. Come and follow me. And many of those men laid everything they had down. They was there, one instance we have where they were mending the nets on the ship. They was getting ready to go back out. They laid everything down and left. Right. I think about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah walks by Elisha, cast his mantle on him. He said, what have you done? What'd you do to me? He said, I don't know what you're talking about, man. That's me paraphrasing. But anyway, you go back and look at yourself. That's the essence of what took place. You know what he done? I think he has 12 yoke oxen there he was plowing with. And he took all the implements thereof and he offered a burnt offering to the Lord. You know what that means, brethren? There's no backing up at that point in time. He couldn't get down the road and say, well, it's too hard. I'll go back and run my oxen. They're gone. Everybody gives old brother Peter a hard time, don't they? Oh, he denied the Lord. Well, yeah, he did. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't long after there. That old brother, right before there, he gets out of the boat. Nobody else got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. He said, come to me. You know what Peter did? Got out of the boat. He came to the Lord. Then all of a sudden he looked around and started to drown. And when y'all think about that image there, do you think about calm water or do you think about an absolute storm? Because let me tell you something, brethren, it was an absolute storm. Those men were seagoing men. They were sailors. They knew what the sea was like. And they were scared for their life when they saw the Lord. It wasn't some calm seas he was walking on out there. I'm telling you, there was white caps. Water was coming in the boat. They thought they were going to die. And old brother Peter got out of the boat. Then you come over here and you'll find something else. He's just trying to follow the Lord. The point I'm making is sometimes when you try to follow the Lord, you're going to get braced for it because you're not perfect. Because here we get over and they've had communion. The Lord tells Peter, said, you know what? You're going to deny me tonight. For the cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice. Oh no, Lord, I'll never deny you. What did Peter do? Well, the third time when he denied the Lord, he heard that old rooster crow and he looked in there and he saw the Lord looking at him. Y'all ever heard a rooster crow in your life? It could be any number of things. It might be like the old king. It might be the lowing of the cattle and the bleeding of the sheep. Hey, a lot of things the Lord uses to get our attention.
Right. Yeah.
And he left sorrowful. But isn't it glorious, brethren, that when the Lord comes out of that tomb, he said, you go tell the apostles and Peter. Then you'll find where the apostles have kind of got a little downtrodden. They said, I go fishing. They all take off. They go fishing. They've toiled all night. Here they are out in the ocean. They're there close to the shore, and they've got their nets in. And if you've never cleaned a net, you need to go try it. Man, I'm telling you, I got on a shrimp boat one time. That's the nastiest mess you ever fooled with, trying to clean them nets. Because you catch toilet bowls and toilet lids and them storms. When that surge comes in, it's got to go back out. And when it goes back out, it takes all manner of stuff with it, all right? You get them nets up and you pull it into the boat and you dump it. You got bicycles and hubcaps and, you know, they'll obviously find Jimmy Hoffa down there or something. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's a mess when you start cleaning up them nets. Them boys have been dredging all night and they just got the nets clean. And a man from the shore says, "Children, have you any meat?" They said, "No. No, we've toiled all night." He said, "Cast your net on the right-hand side of the ship." Yeah. Now, you know, if that had been me, I just got through cleaning that net, and I know what a chore that was. I might say, "Fella, you come out here. If you want to throw it, you throw it. I ain't throwing it no more. I'm going to the house." So, I've been up all night. You know what they did? They cast the net. Man, there was so much fish. They couldn't draw the net into the boat. They had to get little boats to come out there. And you know what happened? Old Brother Peter going to get out of the boat again. He looks over at John, and when he saw that, he said, "That's the Lord." He jumped in and started swimming to the bank. He wasn't going to wait. He was running to the Lord. So what I want you to understand, brother, is I'm going to talk to you about a subject tonight real quick, fast, and in a hurry, I trust. But what I want you to know is from time to time, you're going to fail the Lord. And it's not about how many times you fail the Lord. It's about how many times you get back up and keep pursuing. Peter kept going. He got out of the boat again. You know, you and I, we might have got out of that boat that first time. So, you know, we sitting here the last time I got out, I sank. I ain't fixing to go again. I'm just going to wait right here till they come and bring the little dinghy over here and we'll ride in together. No, he jumped out of the boat, brother. He stepped out on faith. It's a very simple thing in God's Word to say, to walk by faith, not by sight. It's a very difficult thing to do. Simple to say, hard to do. When we gather together for the purpose of worship, brethren, it's a very simple thing. The preaching of the gospel is a very simple thing. It's simple and profound all at the same time. But the gospel message is simple. The gospel message is God chose a people before the foundation of the world. He placed them in His Son. His Son redeemed them on Calvary's cross so they'd live with Him in glory for all of eternity. That's a simple statement. And He died, and everyone He died for is going to be with Him. There's people out there today that say, "Oh, Satan's robbing God." I don't know what God they're serving, because the God I serve is one going to cast his tail into the pit. He's got more power than Satan. You understand? Satan ain't ever robbed God of nothing. He ain't going to. Why? Because it was told over in Genesis, he's going to crush his head. I got news for you, brother. That day is coming. And it's closer today than it was yesterday. And for that cause, we ought to be praying, "Lord, come quickly." But when we gather, we ought to be doing just like the apostles. We ought to try just a little bit harder every day to follow Him just like He told us to follow. Just like He told us to follow. When you think about the fact that over there they finished communion, we'll look at Matthew real quick. They finished communion, they sung a hymn, and they went out into the Mount of Olives. You know what He said? "Watch and pray with me." He goes a little bit further. He comes back. You know what He found? They were asleep. He woke them up. He said, "Could you not watch for 1 hour?" You know what happens in the military if you fall asleep on your watch? It's not pleasant, brother. I promise you won't do it but once. So, brethren, we'll get your attention. You may not have an opportunity to do it again depending on where you're at. But the Lord said, "Sleep on." Sleep on. I hope when He comes amongst us, brethren, He doesn't find us sleeping. I hope when He comes amongst us, He finds us watching and praying. And praising. And preaching. The Lord sang a song, and they went out in the Mount of Olives. You know, we try to follow the Lord in every example He set, because we try to follow, just like the apostles were told, "Follow me," we try to follow Him. You know, one of the first ways a little child of God has the opportunity to follow Jesus Christ and His example is through baptism. Now, let me make this point to you while we're on this subject. Because baptism, the Bible tells us, is not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God. Why was Jesus Christ baptized? Do you think Him being baptized made Him the Son of God? No, brother. No, but you know what? It made manifest that He's the Son of God. Because it was told John, "Whom you see the Spirit descend and remain on, that's the Messiah. That's who He is. That's my beloved." John sees it and gives testimony of it. And I'm going to tell you, when a little child of God is baptized today, it's not so that they become a son. It's because they are a son. And it's a proclamation to their brethren that they want to follow in the example of Jesus Christ. That's the first step in following the example of Jesus Christ. It's following the Lord in baptism. And no, Jesus Christ was the Son of God before the foundation of the world. And I got news for you. Him being baptized didn't make him any more the Son of God than what he already was. But he's given us an example that we should follow after him. Right. One of the other things that we still hold to among the old Baptists. I suppose you do here. Y'all still have foot washing here? Or feet washing, I guess you'd call it. I don't know. Two of them. Fact of the matter is, the Lord says, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's. Somebody said, well, that says ought. One time I got in trouble at school, and I got suspended. It was a trivial thing, but nonetheless. I got home, and Russell Laird found out I'd been suspended. And my grandma was having surgery. Mom and daddy was going to be gone. I said, I'm going to the creek, going fishing. I'm going to do all kind of fun stuff today. And daddy said, boy, you see that fence row over there? It was one side of a 40. I said, yes, sir. He said, you have it clean when I get back. I said, well, how far do you want me to go, daddy? Because if he'd have told me to go to that pine tree, I'd have been done in a half hour. I'd be gone. He said, I'll let you know when I get back if it's enough. He said, you ought to clean it all the way off. You know, I understood what ought to meant. It meant do it. When the Lord said, you ought to do it, he meant exactly what he said. You ought to be found doing it. Why? He says, happy are you if you do. There's joy in service to our Lord, brother. There's joy in the kingdom. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory when his countenance comes down and we're able to see him.
Right.
One of the other things that we see here is the Lord's told us, and he showed us that example of they sang a hymn. Now, we can go over, I believe it's Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken, about the 5th chapter, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then in Colossians 3, I believe we'll find where it says, singing, making melody in your hearts. My grandmother was asked one time why we didn't have a piano. She said, you know, she said, I had open heart surgery when I was a young lady. She had fever and it attacked an artery in her heart, and they put a pig valve in there. And of course, Brother Ricky probably remembers all this that took place, because the pig valve began to decay, and they had to go in and they put a St. Jude's valve. And I was just a little bitty grand boy. And they gave us one that looked like this. Of course, that's not what they put in there. The one they put in was a lot smaller. But it's a plastic valve. And when you sat by Mama, you could hear just click, 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 click. You could hear it clicking at night. If it was real quiet, you could hear her heart clicking. It was most amazing. She said it took her forever to learn how to go to sleep with that clicking going on in her heart. She said they got one of them in there. She said, but they hadn't made a piano small enough to get there yet. See, it says singing and making melody in your heart. Okay. Now, another place I want to carry you is to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah is going to command, because there's been some bad stuff going on, brethren. There's all kind of filthiness in the temple of God. The porch is full of all kind of filthiness. And Hezekiah wants to get things right.
Yeah.
As bad as it's been, he wants to repent and turn. Okay? And don't you tell me, Lord, we serve not long suffering. Nineveh, the whole city. If I ain't mistaken, they said it was 3 days' journey. A day's journey. That's 72 miles. Day's journey was 24 miles. That's 72 miles. He went a day's journey into it, started preaching, went up on the hill to watch them burn, and the Lord blessed, and they all repented. Even the animals repented. Yeah, the Lord's long-suffering, brethren. Praise God, he is. Praise God, his mercy is everlasting. It endureth forever. Because if he gave us what we really deserved, oh, we'd have not much to be rejoicing in tonight. Because I know what we truly deserve. But Hezekiah says, we got to go in and we got to clean this thing up. We've got to make this right. We've got to repent of our error. And all the filthiness that had been brought into the house. And he even encouraged the Levites. He said, you be of good courage. You be strong. Why? Because you were called to this. Don't be fearful. You get in there and get the work done. And they go in and they clean it all out. And then he said, you get 7 rams and 7 bullocks and 7 he-goats. And goes through all of this. And when they got there, y'all can go read this for yourself. I don't have time to go read it. You can go read it. I'm going to tell you what it says. They had the psalteries and the harps and the cymbals and all this stuff going on. Right up until which time the burnt offering was complete and atonement had been made for all of Israel. And when that happened, O Hezekiah commanded them that they bow their heads and they worship and they sing the songs of David and of Asaph the seer. Now I want to show you a beautiful picture in this. You see, because you had instruments of men that were utilized in an intercessory position. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the end of the law and the prophets. He's also the last and only high priest we'll ever need. If you go look in Hebrews, you're going to find that they had problems with their high priest. And the problem was they died all the time. Oh, but our high priest lives forever for the purpose of making intercessions on our behalf, brethren. And this high priest has not only promised that he's there making intercessions on our behalf, but he's promised in Hebrews 2 that when we gather together as a church, that he's going to come down and sing with us. Not only does he come down and sing with us, but he declares the Father's name unto us because he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That blows my mind. But brethren, when we understand how precious this gift is, what a precious thing this kingdom is, it's a place where God will come down. You realize, brethren, that the high priest went in the holiest of holies once every year. He's the only one that can go in. But now the veil of the temple has been rent in twain, and you and I can boldly come to a throne of grace. And you know what was there on the mercy seat? That's where God comes down. And I'm going to tell you, God comes down amongst his people today. And he does it in the kingdom. And we as mere mortals are blessed with it. Oh, it's simple, but it's profound. So let me ask you something, brethren. If you're truly seeking to follow the Lamb, why would we want to do anything else other than worship than what the Lord has set forth for us to do? Why would we want to do that? That doesn't make good sense to me. If the Lord says, I'm going to come down and sing with you, you know what I hope he finds when he comes down here to see us, brethren? I hope he finds us singing. Making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. I hope he finds us singing, praising his matchless name, offering the praise of our lips continually to he who's worthy to be praised. May the Lord bless us to continue to worship in an acceptable way. And may he make that known by coming down and being in our midst and declaring unto us, yes, little child, this is my kingdom. But more so than that, you've been blessed beyond measure because he hath made us kings and priests unto God. And you and I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we can boldly come under the throne of grace where God himself comes down. Why would we not want to take advantage of that auspicious privilege that has been allotted us by our elder brother, by our faithful husband, and by our elder father? He's blessed us beyond measure, brethren. May we worship his name. May the Lord bless us, I pray.